From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Who is the King of Glory? It is the Lord. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for Listen Up, Jesus is on the air. And that was supposed to be Dr. John Palmer, and I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and that was a bad imitation of Dr. John Palmer. John is out ill today. He has the virus, so we're lifting up the show to you, John, and it's in your honor. Come back soon. Thank you, John. And this is Al Barbarino that's singing the song that we've sang for 160 times on our show.
Jesus wants to show the way. If we take the time to ask him, he will guide us through the day. Let's be thankful.
And we lift Al up in prayer. He's had an operation on his knee, and he's in the hospital today. And I go to give him Holy Communion. And Al, this is for you. We love you, Al. Thank you so much. Okay, so on with the show. So we have a great guest. We have a great show. Unfortunately, Dr. John Palmer is ill today, so he's not going to be here. But John, if you're listening and you wish, you're welcome to call in if you're feeling up to it. We would love to talk to you on the phone. Our guest today is a family. It's a family, and it's Brian and Janine Dean. And they have their children with us, and it's so apropos because today, tomorrow's readings is a family reading. It's about Mary and Joseph presenting Jesus into the temple as a family and making it official that Jesus is part of the temple. And so it's a family show. It's a family thing. So welcome, Brian. Welcome, Janine. And welcome, Julianne. Welcome, Kevin, and welcome, Sean. So nice to have you guys here. What do you think, being in a radio station for the first time? Oh, I see how excited you guys are. So, Brian, thank you so much for coming.
Tony, God bless you. Thank you.
It's a joy and a pleasure to have you. And the reason why I was so attracted to asking you to be here was because I noticed in the name, in your business name, you call it the Apostolic Financial Advisors. So I'm not sure what you meant by that, but I know it had to be something religious, something holy, something for God.
That's right. We're Apostolic Financial Advisors. So we are apostles of Christ, and we're trying to do Christ's work through finances. So it's very simple. We're a business, we're an apostolate, but I need to pay my bills, I need to keep a roof over my family's head. So I was called to Christ later in life. I felt I needed to do his work, but I also needed to feed my family. I have a financial background. Essentially the majority of my adult working years have been in finance. So I figured out a way to do the Lord's work through finances. So what Apostolic Financial Advisors does is it helps people with investment advisory and financial planning, but we invest in line with the social teachings of the Catholic Church.
Okay, so I take it you're an apostle of the Lord.
That's right.
And what I take it that your professional profession is actually a ministry.
That's right.
And that's what I wanted. Why is it a ministry? Why are you making it a ministry?
Well, you know, Tony, with the new evangelization, we're called. As Catholics, we're all called to live every aspect of our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. So whether that be the majority, you know, I was like the majority of people. Even when I came back to church and I started going to Mass again, show up for Mass an hour a week, pull in, you say your prayers, you go through the motions, you're done with Mass, you take your family, you get in the car, and you go out for breakfast or you go out for lunch, whatever you do, and then you sit in front of the TV and you turn on Sunday football and you kind of forget about the Lord and you forget about Mass and you forget about the sacraments and you forget about why we're put on this earth, right? The Lord put us here to love and serve Him, but we've forgotten about that. So what, as I came back, I realized every aspect of our life needs to be for the praise and glory of God.
Absolutely. And you know what? Our mission statement is to make Jesus involved in every part of our lives and our businesses, to make Him the CEO of our business. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to evangelize and let people know that Jesus wants to be part of all our lives.
That's right.
So let me ask you another question, if I may. So what was the turnaround? What brought you back to Jesus? What brought you back to the church? I mean, you weren't always involved in the church.
Well, that's right. So what? So just so everybody knows a little about me and my witness. And so about 44 years ago, I was born at Mary Immaculate Hospital in Jamaica, Queens, and I was baptized at Incarnation Church in Queens Village, and I was raised by Robert and Caroline Dean, and I was brought to Mass every Sunday by my father, and he was a devout Catholic. My mom was Catholic in name only. She didn't go to church, but we did go to Mass every Sunday. We sat front pew, center aisle, every Sunday. We were there early. We participated fully in Mass. We sang the hymns. We said the prayers out loud. It's a little different than Tony going to Mass today, where you're in the pews, and a lot of people, it seems as though they're just going through the motions.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, it was a little different back 40 years ago. I think, you know, culturally, as a society, we were still Christian, and we were all cultural Catholics. And even if you were going through the motions, and even if you didn't really understand, you didn't appreciate, you know, people did participate. Everybody went to Mass on Sunday, and everybody did participate. So I had a father who was a good witness to the faith. So I received First Communion, and in fact, back then, that was in the early 70s, that was right when the Second Vatican Council, you know, the changes in the church were being instated. So I, even as a kid, even though I'm a post-Vatican II baby, I still remember as a little kid there still receiving the Eucharist on the rail, on my knees. So there were some remnants of the old. But then I went through CCD, you know, as it was called. I went to public school, but once a week I was pulled out of school. And it's funny, we were pulled out of school early. I remember growing up and we went to CCD once a week, and CCD was at whatever time it was, 2:30, and it didn't matter that the public school ended at 3:30. At 2:30 every Wednesday, we were all pulled out of school. No one thought anything of it, and we were brought to church and for our catechesis. And you know, it's funny today. I look at the poor DREs, the directors of religious ed in our parishes, and they do everything and everything to accommodate parents today. To let's make religious education, let's build it around our soccer practices or our ice hockey, or my kid has dance. And
you're absolutely correct. 100% correct.
Where back when we were kids, you know what? We, Christ and the Lord and God was first.
They were first, yes. And you know what? While you were talking, I was sort of playing Bible roulette, and I picked that, and I come up with a saying for Acts 4, and it says, "With great power, the apostles were telling people that the Lord Jesus was truly raised from the dead, and God blessed all the believers very much." And I immediately equated that with you, because I'm impressed with your belief and your turn to God and your family values. By the way, you may not know it, we have his whole family here. We have Brian's whole, and we have his children. We announced them, and they're listening so diligently with the earphones on there. It's a beautiful picture. Nick, if you're taking pictures, take a picture of this, okay? Thanks, buddy.
I'll tell you, there is, and I'm sure it's been on, you guys have talked about this before, you and Dr. Palmer, and there have been more than one study that shows that the father of the family, so the father is the priest and prophet, the priest, the prophet, and king of his domestic church. So if you look at salvation history from the beginning, it was always the father. It was the man who was responsible, right, for the spiritual upbringing or the religious instruction of the family.
Yes, so, absolutely.
And we've forgotten about that as a Catholic society. You go into the church and where's the men? Where are the dads?
You know, I did a survey. I did a personal survey, and to be honest with you, you're hitting the nail on the head on every issue. There are about 20% of men that come to Mass, and there are about 15% of men that come to prayer groups. All the rest are women.
That's
absolutely right. And
that,
it's time that the dads woke up and start coming to Mass.
That's right. And so the studies that have been done have said if the spiritual life of your children or our children, as they grow up and they become adults, the ones that have been brought up spiritually by their fathers, have been instructed and have been led by their fathers, even if they fall away, eventually the majority of them do come back.
It comes down to family values.
That's right.
And the best example of family values is the Holy Family, Saint Joseph and the Blessed Mother.
That's right.
Jesus. And St. Joseph, although he was so quiet and so like maybe behind the scenes, was the icon of the family.
That's right.
He was the strength of the family. He's the one that led Mary to all the travelings and protected Mary and Jesus and all the tribulations that were going on.
That's right. St. Joseph was the protectorate of the Virgin of all virgins, our Holy Mother Mary.
Absolutely.
And he was the protector of the virginity and the sanctity of the family.
Yes, absolutely.
Today, men have forgotten. We just don't even think about that anymore.
No. So you had a turnaround, is that correct?
I never rejected the faith, okay? But like most cultural Catholics, I received first penance. I received first Holy Communion. As I get older, I received the sacrament of confirmation. So after the bishop slapped me on the cheek and made me a soldier for Christ, I think that was it. I think the responsibility of my father was over, and I wasn't forced to go to Mass anymore. So, of course, when you're a kid and your parents aren't making you go to Mass, what would you rather do, sleep late and go out and play ball or go to Mass? If I'm not, you know, as a young, still a really informable years as you hit these teenage years, if you're not brought to Mass, you're not going to go. And so, of course, I didn't go.
So what happened when you finally awoken? What happened when Jesus finally presented himself to you?
Well,
did he present himself to you in a humble, quiet way? Or did he, pow, did he hit you and say, I'm Jesus?
Well, I'll tell you, Tony, this was a long road. Fast forward, so I began working. I got married to Janine. We were both working, still not going to Mass, even though we were married in the Catholic Church, of course, because we were both Catholic, and I would identify myself as Catholic. I don't know. I probably say I was a non-practicing Catholic, but oh yeah, I'm Catholic, but I don't go to church anymore or whatever. So around when September 11th happened, Janine and I were married. We had moved out of the city. We had moved to the suburbs. We had no children yet. Janine was working in one of the towers of the World Trade Center. She was in the first tower that got hit. I worked on Wall Street, but I worked in Jersey City. I didn't actually work in New York City. My office was on the Hudson River, overlooked the World Trade Center. I happened to be on sabbatical. I was on a month sabbatical at my job, so I was home in the suburbs in New Jersey. I remember it as clear as day. I was in Home Depot. I was picking up some stuff for our new house. We had two dogs, and life was great, and Janine was at work, and I was at Home Depot, and all of a sudden I hear people talking, an airplane hit the World Trade Center. It didn't mean anything to me. I knew Janine worked there. I thought it was a small plane. I had no idea what building she was in or what floor she was on. And then I said, oh, maybe I should go home. And then I went home and you know, I'm listening to everything on the radio, and then things are starting to, you know, reality starting to hit. And I go home and I'm watching this all unfold on TV. I try to get in touch with Janine. I'm calling. I can't get in touch. All the phones are busy. I have no idea where she is, what's going on. All of a sudden I'm watching TV with these two dogs. I see the first tower fall. While watching TV, I fall to my knees. I'm crying hysterically. Now I believe in God, but I'm not back in the church yet. So I'm calling, nothing, can't get through. I don't know where she is. I don't know what office she is. I don't know what building. I don't know anything. 20 minutes later, the second tower falls. I talk to her parents. They haven't heard from her. After all the towers have fallen, now this is like 11:45. So now I think it's been over an hour since both buildings are down. And I get a phone call, and it's Janine. And she said, Brian, I'm here. I'm alive. I made it. And but anyway, so that night we're reunited. It was just a huge ordeal how she made it home. But that night we went to church for the first time. And I mean, the only time I'd go to church was for a wedding or a funeral, and that was it. So that was kind of my first step back into church. But from there, it was still I didn't get the pow. I wasn't hit by Jesus. He was working. The Holy Spirit, wow, very subtly began to work on me.
You're making me cry. And I see Janine's crying, so.
So it took, but Tony, that after that, so it's still, it took years. But you know what? A couple months after that, Janine, she became pregnant. And 9 months later, we were blessed with our first child, Julianne. And she was we had her, of course, we had her baptized in the church. So Janine started initially, she started a comeback to the church. She started listening to EWTN radio. She started watching shows on EWTN. And this was, Tony, over the course of years now, she began to dabble in Catholic apologetics, just very simple things like, why do we believe in God? And is the church the true church? And one thing that was very funny is now, so we have Julianne, and then 13 months later, we're blessed with our second child, Kevin, our first son. And it's funny, Janine starts, you know, we're controlling with the TV and what gets piped into the house and everything like that. So as these kids start to, you know, get a little older, and now they want to watch TV and they want to watch cartoons. And Janine said, well, I've got to feed them. I'm going to let them watch EWTN, and they have some neat children shows. So there's a tremendous witness to the Catholic faith, and he's a convert to the church, and his name's Rob Evans, and he has a show called The Donut Man, and they show it on EWTN. And so my kids would watch The Donut Man, and you know what? I would watch The Donut Man. And I would sing the songs.
Sean likes The Donut Man because he's applauded.
All my kids were raised on The Donut Man, but their daddy was being fed. Because you know what, Tony, growing up, it's funny. I never learned any of the Bible stories. I never learned anything. I don't know whose fault it was. I don't know if it was the fault of my parents. I don't know if it was the fault of the church. I'm not here to place blame. I'm just saying I never learned. So I'm watching The Donut Man with these kids, and this is how I'm beginning to learn the stories of the Bible, is through the children's Bible, right? Through reading them their Bible stories at night and through watching The Donut Man. And I said, wow, this is pretty interesting. So then you know, I started saying, well, and Janine would say, I think Janine started doing the best she can with these two little kids trying to go to church. And she said, you know, we got to raise these kids with some faith. So she would bring them to church. And then, I don't know, something said to me, well, geez, you know, you're the father. You got to bring them to church. You got to go to church and you got to set an example. So slowly over time, I began going to Mass. And Janine started getting me into the, you know, Catholic apologetics. And there is another great man on EWTN called Marcus Grody. And he has a show on Monday nights called The Journey Home. And he's a convert to the church. And it's, you know, all these, we would watch this show remember, I would go to work. I had my fancy Wall Street job. Now, you have to realize, Tony, when I was working on Wall Street, I was fortunate. I was making some good bread. And I worshiped the golden calf, you know. So I didn't, what was important to me was we had money. We had a big fancy house. We had a big fancy car. We took a nice vacation. What was important to me was what everybody else saw, what did everybody think about the life that I was leading? You know, and what was the image that I was portraying?
Keeping up with the Joneses.
Keeping up with the Joneses. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Exactly. That
you hit the nail on the head, Brian.
So that's what. So that's really what mattered to me. So again, I, like I said, to use the analogy from the Old Testament, that's who I worshiped, the golden calf. But slowly over time, it was a slow conversion. But you know, I would watch every Monday night. Janine would have the Journey Home on EWTN, and she would say, we would put the kids to bed, and she would say, you know, come in and watch this with me. And I would lie down on the floor and we'd have it on, and I'd probably fall asleep half the time halfway through the show because I'd have to get up 5 o'clock the next morning to go to work. But slowly over time, it worked. It was working. The Holy Spirit was working through this television, through, you know, Mother Angelica's work, through EWTN. The Holy Spirit was working through into me, filling my heart. You know, my heart was hardened and my heart was being softened. And but there was a lot I had to work through, because I began getting this knowledge. I said, well, you know, so why am I going to church? Is Christ real? Is this, you have to realize the society that we're living in today, every message that you get is telling you why you shouldn't believe in the Lord.
That's the evil one.
That's right.
That's the evil one, and you have to discern that.
That's right. Satan's out there 24/7. Satan's working overtime.
Oh, is he?
Satan's coming through the airwaves, coming through the TV, coming through the computer, you know, in the hallways everywhere.
Yeah, but you know what you're doing right now, Brian? You're pushing Satan right aside through the airways. Your testimony is probably making Satan furious.
That's right.
I can just see him now kicking his heels up because your testimony is so pure, so just like Jesus coming to you, not like a dynamic hit, but like slowly and gently and lovingly. And then finally he wins your heart.
Well, that's right. And that's why we need more Dr. Tonys, and we need more Dr. John Palmers. We need men like you to bring people back to Jesus.
Thank you. But don't go away. We're coming back. I just want to mention one or two things. I just want to wish a very dear listener a happy birthday. Her name is Philomena. She's a loyal listener. She doesn't listen on the radio. She listens through the internet. And she lives in Brooklyn, and she's celebrating her 98th birthday. And her son tells me that she listens to us religiously every Saturday morning, and nothing could stop us. So happy birthday, Philomena. We love you so. You're in our prayers. And thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening. Also, we have a feature that we started, which is a two-minute scriptural talk that a priest does for us. So I just want to mention that quickly about tomorrow's scriptures and just talk for 2 minutes about it, if that's okay. But don't worry, because you're coming back.
I'm here.
Okay, so tomorrow's scriptures, the two-minute reflection on tomorrow's scriptures is when Mary and Joseph, after 40 days, brought Jesus to the temple. And so when the days were completed for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. On the day of a man's and woman's Catholic marriage, before they express their vows to each other, they are asked, "Will you accept children lovingly from God and bring them up according to the law of Christ and his church?" As Mary and Joseph humbly fulfilled the law of Moses at the time of Jesus' birth, So husbands and wives today are expected to fulfill the law of Jesus Christ in this regard. And Brian, you and Janine are perfect examples of fulfilling that law with their children, because I see how God-filled they are, how Jesus-loving they are. I could talk to Sean, five-year-old Sean, and he mentions Jesus, and you could see the look on his face. So what are they really being asked to do? They present their children to the Lord. What does this mean? To have them baptized soon after birth, to teach them the sign of the cross, to speak to them about God, to teach them to pray, to lead them to sacramental life in the church by taking them to weekly mass and confessing when necessary, to enroll them in a faith formation program and inquire what they ought to learn each year, to do works of charity, and then so they grow up with a picture of what the Christian life really should look like, to help dozens and you and everyone discern their vocation and the life according to God's plan for them, and to pray that should they be called to the religious life or the priesthood, that they have and you have the grace to say yes to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And so that's our two-minute reflection. And to follow the two-minute reflection, today is the first Saturday, and it's dedicated to Mary. And I would like to play a song which reflects or it talks about Mary's acceptance and bringing Jesus to the temple. So, Trevor?
She stood so strong on that cold, dark day, the day she knew would have to come. I held her hand as she looked above to a light she'd always loved. Her hand was cold, but her heart was warm with a love for her special one. Her face was bright, but her life was torn as she looked at her precious son. I rocked him as a baby, I fed him as a child, I heard him call my name out in the I helped him take his first step. Oh, I cried when I heard his first words. I wish they all could see through a mother's eyes. They laid him down, she kissed his face and wiped the hair from his eyes. She walked away so silently with a love that never dies. Yes, her hand was cold, but her heart was warm with a love for her special one. Her face was bright, but her life was torn as she looked at her precious son. I rocked him as a baby, I fed him as a child, I heard him call my name out in the night. I held and take his first step. When I cried when I heard his first words, I wish they all could see through a mother's eyes. They all could see through a mother's
By the way, that song was selected by my wife, Joan. She's, for today, the musical director. So good selection, Joan. Thank you. And I just want to mention, too bad this is not on TV. When this song was being played, Brian turned around and held Janine's hand. Janine started crying. I started crying. And then Sean turned around and held Brian's hand. And the family was holding hands. And shouldn't that be what the family's all about? This is really great. This is unbelievable. And I tell you, I'm very, you know, I want you to know, I don't cry easy. I'm a Marine. I just want you to know that. But there's certain things. Palmer said, oh, if Palmer's listening now, he said, oh, sure, he cries at the drop of a hat. But I do. We also have another feature I want to do, and then I want to get back exclusively to you. And we do. We feature a saint every week. And I was taunted on what saint to use. And, of course, I want to use St. Matthew, the patron saint, for financial problems and stuff like that. But I was torn to a servant of God, Brother Jupiter. He's a Franciscan brother. And so in speaking about saints, we usually like to speak about the popular saints. You know, there are very popular saints around today. But I want to speak about someone you probably never heard of. I was really tempted, as I said, to talk about St. Matthew, the patron saint of accountants and the people of financial trouble, and bring them to the forefront. But I thought that I had an obligation to present to everyone, and I'm sure they don't know, the servant of God, Brother Jupiter. When one thinks of great saints of peace, the servant of God, Jupiter, who was born in 1210 and died in 1258, is usually not included in this list. This is in part because he is not a saint yet of the Catholic Church. But even though his name day is celebrated on January 29th, so he's not a saint. The church celebrates his name day. So he was rather important. It is also in part because he was not known for preaching. He was not known for making peace or for rejecting military service or for negotiating a treaty or warning kings and heads of states about what's going to come or anything of that sort. He was not known for going around evangelizing. He was not known for his dynamic personality. He is known, believe it or not, for his zany love for the poor and his zany actions that justified him taking care of the poor. Actually, we do not know how much Juniper, or much about him before he joined the friars in 1210. St. Francis sent him to establish places for the friars to live. And when St. Clare was dying, Juniper consoled her. He was devoted to the Passion of Jesus and was known for his simplicity. Brother Jupiter was one of St. Francis of Assisi's original followers and was quite a character. He famously cut the foot off a farmer's pig when a sick brother admitted that he was craving for pig's feet soup. Then he avoided the farmer's wrath by his innocence and humility. In fact, the farmer was so outraged that he ended up talking the farmer into donating the rest of the pig to the friars. And so he had that simple way about him, that simple loving way, but that, I don't know if you call it mischievous way or his own standards. He was also known for having little respect for private property. If a beggar asked him for something he did not have, he would return to the friary and pick up anything that was laying around that belonged to the other friars, whether it was his or not. Another time, Jupiter had been commanded to quit giving part of the clothing away to the half-naked people he met on the road. Desiring to obey his superior's order, Juniper once told a man in need that he would not give the man his clothing, but he would not prevent the man from taking it either. In time, the friars learned not to leave anything laying around, for Juniper would probably give it away, even though it doesn't belong to him. If anything, Brother Juniper is known for being one of the most outrageous holy fools in the history of Christianity. He famously does the unthinkable to justify taking care of the poor and the needy. It should be noted that the many humorous stories about Brother Juniper are recorded by St. Francis, which reveals a continuous theme of how Christians' boldness offends, but Christian humility leads to reconciliation. Another illustration of his mindset is the story of the beggar and the altar cloth. The Franciscan sacristan, wanting a break, mistakenly left Juniper to keep an eye on the richly adored altar cloth while he went to take a bite to eat. While the sacristan was gone, a woman approached Juniper and asked for money. Since Juniper had no money, he cut the front part of the cloth and gave it to the woman. When the sacristan discovered this, he brought Juniper before the religious superior so he could be punished. The superior yelled at Juniper for a long time, so long that his voice became hoarse. Juniper felt sorry for the superior's throat. So during the night, he cooked a pudding and brought it to him, woke him up. He was sleeping. And when the superior said, by no means would he eat pudding in the middle of the night, Juniper asked if the superior would hold a candle so that he could eat it himself, as he did not want it to go to waste. Touched by Juniper's innocence, the superior lit the candle and shared the meal with Juniper. Actually, I could see a comedy movie being made about Juniper concerning his antics. We have so much to learn about reconciliation through Juniper's radical humility and his joyful simplicity, but infatuated people many times, but finally transformed the people he met into real believers. He died in the year 1258 and is buried in the church in Rome. It is said that St. Francis once described the perfect friar by citing the patience of Brother Juniper, his attention to the lonely, to the poor, and to the people that are in the streets, living off the streets, and his strong desire to give anything he could if someone asked him. He loved the lonely and the have-nots, and had a supreme desire to follow Christ on the way to the cross. So simple, so innocent, so loving, so holy, and so giving. That was the servant of God, Brother Juniper. And so that's the long and short story of someone that attracted me so much that I thought I had to share it with the listeners.
Well, you know, Tony, it's funny, that's what's missing today, especially with our children, is we don't teach them humility anymore. At some point we're all guilty of this. We're all concerned about us and the here and now, and everything for me, and we're only on this earth for a very short period of time, right? We're all
absolutely.
And that's when people I speak to people and wow, I admire what you're doing. It's a great thing. And I said, I'm just a simple guy trying to get to heaven. That's all I want to do. And you know what? If I can bring my wife with me, all that much better. If I can bring my kids with me, even better. And maybe there's someone out there listening to us today that we can bring along too. And that's just a bonus, right?
That's our mission statement. We want to convert one person a week to Jesus. And that's very simple. It's very humble, right? One person a week.
That's right.
But when I'm thinking about it, you got to really work on it to convert someone.
That's right.
And it takes a little doing.
You know what? It's tough to convert if someone's not open to conversion, but there are plenty of people out there who are hungry. There are plenty of people who want to hear the word. It's just getting the message out.
That's right. Brian, I want to talk about you more. Well, I want to talk about your I want to talk about your profession. I want to talk about why your profession is reaching out to other Catholics. I want to talk to about why Catholics I don't know if I'm saying the right thing, but Catholics should deal with Catholics who have the same standards, the same values, the same love for Jesus.
You know, Tony,
not that the others aren't good.
That's right. But no, that's right. But we increasingly today we live in a society that's hostile towards Christians, hostile toward the church, hostile toward Catholics. And we need, more so now than ever before, we need to preserve our Catholic identities, right? We need to more so now than ever before, we need to protect ourselves and look out for our brothers.
Absolutely. Now, if I'm listening, I'm listening. And yeah, you know what? You're a financial advisor. And so I guess you tell the people where to put the money, how to put the money and stuff like that. Why would I want to do business with you?
Well, I have a my approach is so not only am I trying to look, there's nothing wrong with wanting to make money. There's in fact the church is you know, from the Industrial Revolution in Great Britain to the Industrial Revolution in the United States here, you know, the popes have always spoken in encyclicals about the value of the ownership of private property and the ownership of the means of production. So, you know, people say, well, you know what? Sell everything and follow Christ. And they said, well, that's true, but you know, the church wants you to become wealthy, but they want you to do good with the money that you make, okay?
Absolutely.
So we need to be good stewards. So in 2003, the USCCB, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, they came out with a statement. The bishops said, you know what? We have financial means, and they need to be invested a certain way, in line with the teaching, the social teachings of the church. So the bishops said themselves, we need to put our money where our mouths are. So when you do business with me, my approach to investing is from one standpoint, it's no different than anybody else's. But from a second standpoint, it's polar opposite, because we keep Christ in mind in everything we do. So there are six areas that the bishops are concerned with. So when you invest with someone like myself, we try to emulate what the church does, what the bishops are doing with their money. So first thing, the bishops are dedicated to protecting human life. So we don't invest in companies that profit from abortion directly or indirectly, contraception, abortifacients, also embryonic stem cell research, which is that's a hot button for people. They say, well, you know, the church is against science, and which is totally not true. Now, I'm not a bioethicist, or I'm not a professional in bioethics, but the church is all for stem cell research, adult stem cell research, but studies have shown that embryonic stem cell research has not been fruitful. So anything having to do with embryonic stem cell research, we should not, you know, invest our money in. The second thing is promoting human dignity. So, of course, we're always concerned about human rights, We're concerned about racial discrimination. We're concerned about gender discrimination. So those are issues.
The standards that you, when they invest their money.
That's
now,
right.
If someone wants to talk to you or wants possibly have you invest their money, how can they get in touch with you?
They can go to my website. It's www.apostolicfa.com. So it's www.apostolicfa. So for apostolicfa.com.
Okay.
Or they can reach me at 201-236-3600. That's 201-236-3600, and I'd be happy to talk to anybody.
Okay, say that number again, because someone may not have had a pen.
Sure. I'm in North New Jersey. It's 201-236-3600.
Okay, and would you come to New York if someone called you from
absolutely.
New York?
Absolutely. I'm able to cross state lines. Okay. I can go to New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Delaware, Maryland, California, wherever they call me from, I'm able to help them.
So if you're out there, listeners, and you're worried about securing your future and you want to talk to someone with Catholic values, as Brian has mentioned, I would give him a call. And let me see. I think I know the number. 201-236-3600, is
bingo.
That right?
Bingo. Okay. That's right.
So it's 201-236-3600. Call him. He'll answer. He'll return the call. He's a great guy. You know, Brian, we haven't even touched the surface. I could see there's a lot more that we have to talk about. Would you promise that you'll come back?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm so impressed with your family values. I'm so impressed with your children. And you brought tears to my eyes when I played that song, and you start holding, and you turned around and held Janine's hand, and Sean's turned and held your hand, and I gotta have a guy like you back.
I would love to come back.
Thank you.
But yeah, please, you know, if anybody wants to see my story, and I didn't even get to talk about the seminary
anything.
There's a lot more to it. But absolutely. Go to my website, www.apostolicfa.com, all one word. I'm Brian Dean, and Tony said my number. And you know what? If there's men out there who just, who want to set up a men's group, who want to get closer to Jesus, just get in touch with me. And I'll tell you how I did it, and I'll tell you how easy it is. And men, don't be intimidated. Don't be scared. Don't be scared by the Bible. Don't be scared by the faith. Don't be scared by the Mass. It's very easy.
And by the way, Brian is going to be at the men's conference in March, so make sure you come down there and step and see him. And we probably will have him back before then, because there's a lot more. Brian has a lot more to tell us about his conversion that we didn't have time for.
That's
but
right.
We'll talk about it. By the way, I also want to mention, and if Dr. Palmer's listening, that he's holding a conference in Kellenberg on June 21st. That's going to be for all the prayer groups. And he's saying, then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. So Palmer's saying, get out of the boat, walk on the water, and come towards Jesus. And if we got a few minutes left, I'd like to say a quick prayer about our petitions and our listeners. Maybe you would like to say, if I know I'm throwing you from left field, but why don't you say a quick prayer about our petitions and to bless our listeners.
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the opportunity you've given me, given my family, to come on and speak with Dr. Tony and Dr. John today. Lord, help these people who petitioned our prayers. Lord, help the sick, help the lonely, help the weary, help all those who need help. Bring us all closer to your Son, Jesus. Holy Spirit, descend upon us. Fill us with love. Soften our hearts. Keep us open to the gospel. Saint Joseph, Mother Mary, Holy Family, Jesus Christ, protect all families out there. In this world, that is a rough one. We know there are better days to come. We ask all this and we ask that you remember you, and we ask that you remember all petitions in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In
Thank
the name of the
Father,
name of the Father, Son,
and
Holy Spirit.
Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, and listeners, we love you, and we thank you for listening, and we're going to go out with the memorare to the Blessed Mother. Okay, Trev, number one. And this was selected by our temporary music director, my lovely wife, Joan. Thank you, Joan.
Those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.